He is in studio. We're in the old National Bank studio across the street from the Chicago Theater. And we were talking during the break. I said, Dio, because we love streaming.
Yeah.
We love talking about shows. Like, are you watching any good shows lately? And tell everyone what you watch.
Yeah, I'm a big YouTube guy. I love watching old YouTube highlights from any sport. It could be, you know, football, the best, most clutch catches from baseball, the best throws in the outfield to, you know, runner out, or basketball, just different games, different atmospheres. I watch a lot of games. I really recently just rewatched the Lakers Celtics game, because if you watch that game, that was game 7, of course, but it was a low scoring game.
Yeah.
Just seeing how every possession mattered in that game, that just makes you get chills. You know, you're seeing how they're not giving them no easy baskets. They're not giving them no easy layups, no fast breaks. Like, every basket from the tip-off to the end, when Rondo missed the three in the corner, it's like it's the best of the best basketball. So I try to just lock myself in on stuff like that just to keep me, you know, focused. This is good to...
If you go back to some of the even older clips, can you believe the way the game used to be played and how physical it was? And like, a foul today is nothing compared to a foul from 30 years ago.
No, definitely. It was like not a lot of those, you know, swipe through moves that was getting fouls. It was real fouls. And I like just watching the old game of basketball and just appreciating and just being a student of the game.
Yeah.
You tell me you're watching guys go from first to third, second to... Who are you... Like, are you watching Ricky Henderson, Vince Coleman? What are you watching? Baseball highlights.
Yeah, I don't really just watch one player, but I watch just different throws, you know, just different guys. Like, I watch, like, the top 50 throws of guys trying to run, because it's exciting, because, like, when they try to tag up and then, you know, when they catch the ball, it's like it's me versus you, my arm versus your speed. So I like just seeing that.
When we played the highlight of your dunk against Indiana, have you played that for yourself?
No, I don't really watch myself. Not really. Only time I watch myself is probably after the game. But besides that, I don't watch myself unless I watch my Illinois highlights, just to see, like, how far I came, you know, what I did wrong there. And just, I like to see in the growth of my game.
Yeah.
How would you grade yourself your rookie season? If you look back, are you a tough grader?
I give myself a B.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What would have made it an A?
I would think what made it an A is after the All-Star break, you know, just coming out a little bit stronger. I think towards after the All-Star break, I think that's when...
Does fatigue sit in?
I would say a little bit of that. And just, like, normally the shots that I made, I was missing. So I would say coming out of All-Star break much stronger. And, you know, as the season get on... Nick Irv, my coach always say, you want to get stronger. You want to get stronger as the season goes. So that's what I would think. If I would have did that better, that's what would have put me in A territory. But since I didn't do it as to my standards, I would say I'd give myself a B.
True or false, Tyler was telling us, our producer, that you're getting the number 38 tattoo.
Oh, yeah, eventually. I don't know when, though, but definitely I'm going to get it eventually.
So that's on your list to remind you.
Yeah. But it's, I mean, I only why I really don't care about a tattoo, because it's tatted in my mind mentally.
That's,
you know,
fair.
That's something that will always be a part of me as long as I play in the NBA. That's something that will always be a part of my grind, my motivation. Every day I go in the weight room and lift weights. Every time I go out there and shoot, you know, I remember that time of how, you know, 3017's passed up on me.
What was the biggest difference from a collegiate game to the NBA game? Was it the strength of the guys that you face on a night in and night out basis? Like, are guys stronger? Are they quicker?
I would definitely say guys are stronger, but I wouldn't think that was one thing that really stuck out to me. What I would say is how each and every night you have one of those dudes. And, you know, me being a defender, having to guard those guys, but that being one of my qualities in my game. Each and every night you have one of those dudes where you have to guard. I was in college, you know, you have every now and then, you know, probably every 2-3 games you have a good guard. But in the NBA,
it's every night.
It's teams, they could be, you know, 0-82, but they got somebody on their team that's making $25 million a year. So, you know, when they see a rookie, when they see anybody, they're going to try to go get theirs. So that's what I think probably the biggest difference.
When Jimmy Butler used to come on with us when he was a ball, when he was young, they used to nickname him the Kobe Stopper. Because first he just came in as this defensive player from Marquette, and the Bulls used to chant Kobe Stopper. I am dubbing you the Trae Young Stopper. Are you good with the with that moniker, the Trae Young Stopper?
I mean, I can't stop you from what you call me. I mean, that's on you.
Well, sure you can. You could say, Sylvie, don't do it. I'm C Red Nation right here.
I mean, if that's how you comment, you know, that's you. I mean, I go out there and try to, you know, guard my best each and every night. So if you want to call me whatever you want to call me, then I ain't going to stop you. I know you're rooting for us.
What are you working on in your game?
I'm working on just trying to, you know, of course, improve my jump shot, make that even more consistent, while also, you know, getting bigger and stronger so I could absorb those bumps, you know, hopefully get some more foul calls this year, get to the free throw line a little bit more, and then just working on my overall game. You know, me being a sophomore, me playing, you know, 82 games, me playing the playoffs, seeing the atmosphere, playing against the Bucks, you know, a championship team. Just really getting my mind and everything a part of my game better. You know, I don't go in the gym and just do one thing. I work on every part of my game, ball handling, you know, passing, just my overall feel of the game. I think all of that together with my me being a sophomore, having experience putting it together.
Yeah. Who is the best player you faced in the NBA your rookie year?
I mean, like, best player, like, overall. Like,
yeah, that you're just like, that guy is the best guy I faced.
I would probably say Kevin Durant. I would say Kevin Durant because a lot of the great players we played against, you know, you came out with it was a game plan, whether it worked or not, it was a game plan how to stop them, you know. So, say if we're playing someone named, you know, Tim Leary, and say if he's a shooting guard and he averaged 30 points, and we say, you know, when Tim get the ball, we're going to force him left and out of the trap, send him baseline, go trap him baseline. You know, it's we have a scheme to stop him. Whether it works on Tim or not, that's what we're going into the game with. When you play Kevin Durant, it's really nothing you can scheme out, but just hope he misses. So I would think our price is Kevin Durant.
Was there a welcome to the NBA moment that you had where you're like, oh man, oof, this is like, I'm playing against this dude and it's just different?
I wouldn't say it was one moment like, wow, welcome to the NBA. I would say it's probably a stretch where, you know, I guard, you know, a player. I guard him well, you know, make it very tough for him, difficult for him on Monday. And then Tuesday night, you got to fly somewhere else and do it again. And then I guard him well. And then Thursday, you got somebody fresh off 2 days off. Now I got to guard them again. So really just getting your mind that once it's done, you know, it's over with, on to the next. You know, it's no time to, you know, clap yourself on the behind and say, good job. You know, you do that at the offseason. You got to just keep going because the NBA has so many great players and so many elite players that each and every night, like I said earlier, it's one of those dudes. So I would probably say that was probably my welcome to the NBA moment is just going through a stretch of guarding elite players back to back to back.
What was the best piece of advice somebody gave you during your rookie season, and who was it that gave it to you? Was it a player? Was it a coach? Was it a family member?
I would say it came from my inner circle. You know, never get too high, never get too low.
Yeah.
That's something that always was instilled in me. But, you know, my dad really instilled that in me at a young age that stuck me through this. Had that through summer league. Like, I knew throughout my rookie season what the work I put in, that it was going to be times where I was going to have success. But the times you have success, you never want to get too high because, you know, it's basketball, it's life. At the end of the day, you're going to eventually come back down. You're going to have struggle. You're going to have trials and tribulations. So you never want to just be so happy over your success, because then once you see failure, that's when it gets to you. That's how you break down. So really, when I ever had good games, or I put together good stretches of games offensively and defensively, I never wanted to hold my head high over that. You know, that actually made me more focused and more locked in, because I understand that now when it's times like after the All-Star break, when I miss, you know, 4 or 5 threes in a row, I'm not in my head, because I know this comes with it. You know, it's a part of the game. So that's probably it.
I remember the videos that came out when you got your number retired at Illinois. What was that night like? And how did it happen where DeMar said, I'm going to go to Champaign and I'm going to sit next to Io?
You know, actually, we was just in the locker room. And I think one of our equipment guys came in. He came in. He was like, Io, yo, the driver is coming to get you for Champaign tomorrow. And DeMar was like, yo, what you going to Champaign for? I was like, I'm getting my jersey retired. He was like, all right, I bet. I'm going to be there. I'm going to meet you there. You know, me being from Chicago, a lot of times people be like, I'm going to come or I'm going to be there. You just think it's like, all right, he just said anything. So I really didn't think nothing of it. I said, all right, bet, cool. Left it at that. Then the next day he told me like, yo, what's the address? And then I know he's really coming. But that night was, that was an unreal night. I really wish I could go back and just probably go through it one more time, because my emotions were so high and I was so blessed, and it happened very fast that I really didn't get to feel how I felt. But looking back at it, you know, it was a blessing, of course, just being there, seeing my number going to the rafters and seeing my loved ones there with me and seeing my teammate come and support me. That was great.
There are like numerous topics that Waddle and I have discussed for 15 years on this show. Uh-huh. One of them throughout the years has always been how to keep the guys in state to play for Illinois. And you were the guy who sort of made it cool again to go to Champaign.
Yeah.
What do you tell kids who are growing up in this city right now who are really good at basketball on why they should go to Illinois and stay in state?
I mean, you know, I always keep it real. I would say, you know, of course, Illinois, I only can speak for Illinois because that's what I've been a part of and that's what I dealt with. But, you know, like just talking to you earlier, like you just told me you know so many people that went to Illinois. So just off of that, we have a connection, you know, and I think that comes a lot with being from your home state. Anywhere I go, I promise you, I see ILL driving, INI, so many people from Illinois, so many people from, you know, that community, that university, and it builds so many relationships off the court. You know, on the court, if you're good, of course, Illinois, we're going to be a top 5, top 10, top 25 without a doubt team. So you're going to have the exposure. You're going to play the games. You're going to play the games that all the other teams play. But now, okay, when it's 5 years, 10 years after that, now you need a job. Now you need connections. Now you want to do this and that. Being from the home state and actually knowing people from here, like in the city of Chicago, it's so many people that have so many connections with Illinois. And I think that itself is a main reason why more guys should do that. But in my opinion, I think that, you know, these young men don't look at it like that. I think they look at it as a 6 to 8 month process rather than being a marathon. You get what I'm saying? So I think people, they look at it like, all right, if I go to one of these blue bloods, you know, hopefully I might be get seen go to the NBA in six to eight months or maybe 2 years. And then after that, they don't know anybody from the university. They have no connections or anything. But so I just think that just instilling that, talking to more kids about that, and it definitely be more kids who want to stay in state.
That's a great message for sure. You mentioned how important it was, or how, you know, nice it was to have DeMar there. Is he the leader of your guys' team? Is he the loudest voice in the locker room because of all that he's accomplished?
I want to say he's the loudest person in the locker room because that just isn't his personality. But I do think he is one of our leaders by example. DeMar isn't a rah-rah guy. He doesn't lead like that, like Ray Lewis, like Kevin Garnett. That isn't how he leads. But he leads by example. He leads by talking. Like you said, just doing little things, like just coming out there to coming out to my jersey retirement. Right. You know, things like that, that makes the guys on the team closer. Now, if DeMar gets beat, now I'm over cautious about rotating for him. I'm over cautious about if he's open getting a ball to him, because now I know we're not just playing basketball, but now it's more of a brotherhood. So I would think, yeah, he's definitely, you know,
he's got a lot of street cred, or he's got a lot of credibility around the league as well, which I would enhance his ability to be a leader in your locker room.
Nah, for sure, because he's just solid. He's a solid dude. You know, it's not fake. It's not phony. Like you said, he accomplished some accomplished the most on our team, but by talking to him, he never brings that up. Yeah. He always keeps it chill. He always talks. He got us iPads for the plane. Just little things he do that you wouldn't even think, like, all right, this is DeMar DeRozan, 6-time, 7-time All-Star, scored 20,000 points, because he's a genuine dude. And, you know, me being from Chicago and how small my circle is, and that's what I'm used to being around. Yeah. So seeing that come from him, that was cool.
We're talking to Ayo Dosunmu. It's Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000. Who's the funniest guy in the Bulls?
Funniest guy, let me think. I'll probably say Javonte.
Yeah, I kind of knew you were going to say it. And there's nothing better than seeing him dunk too, right? When he's on the breakaway.
Yeah, he funny. And he could dunk. We all know that. But he just funny because he don't got no chill.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like he say whatever. it's just funny.
No filter, nothing.
Yeah, nah.
Every team needs someone like that.
Yeah, you need
to
it.
To keep you loose.
Exactly. Yeah. That keeps everybody cool, everybody in a good mood, you know. Yeah.
What do you guys need to do to take the next level, a step in the next, you know, the next direction?
I would say just being more consistent on the little things. You know, of course, that sounds easier said than done. But if you look at the teams that, you know, really win championships, it's about who does the little things the best and more consistent. I think we show flashes of doing it throughout the season. But it was other times where I don't think we did the little things collectively as a unit. And I think if we want to, you know, get to that deep playoff run, we have to instill that early in the season of doing the little things as a team. It can't be one player, two people. We have to all buy in collectively as a team and do the little things to overall help us, you know, win and go far.
Bulls Nation is on pins and needles over Lonzo.
Yeah.
You got anything on Lonzo, on how his knee's doing?
Oh, I mean, yeah, I'm pretty sure he's been working. I talked to him summer league, and then I talked to him again in L.A. He just, you know, been rehabbing, getting stronger. We can't wait for him to get back because, like, Lonzo, he's another cool guy, real chill, not Hollywood, anything like that. So, yeah, he's just been rehabbing to get back 100% to help us try to win as many games as possible.
And on the court, he is so vital to how you guys want to play.
For sure, because he's unselfish. You know, he shoots the ball very well. And he's another leader in a way. You know, he leads by example. He guards. He just helps our team tremendously. So, yeah, he's just been getting right, trying to get back. I know he can't wait to get back on the court. We can't wait to have him.
The first one of the you were talking about, like, the things we have in common with the Illinois friends. One of my best friends went to Illinois, and I texted him. I'm like, Ayo's in studio tomorrow. Yeah. And the first thing he said is, Ayo's jacked now. How much weight have you put on? How big have you gotten here?
Yeah, I'm probably like solid without eating, probably like 204 pounds. But I got much stronger. You know, I cut out all the bad eating foods, really trying to lock in, cut out juice, cut out pop, all of that, and trying to really eat better and just get my body better. I've been feeling good already since I've been doing that. But, yeah, I probably gained about 5 to 6 pounds of solid muscle so far. And I'm trying to just keep better. I want to just keep getting stronger because I don't want to just play for this season. You know, I want my body to sustain and hold up for as long as I'm blessed to play for. So that's what I really think about the long road.
The thing that we, and I think Bulls fans love about you too, is that you're not just a good representative for the Bulls, but you're a good city representative. You just started your foundation, didn't you?
Yes.
Tell us about that and how people can get involved or anything we can do to help.
Yeah, you know, my foundation is probably one of my best accomplishment that I did so far. You know, I did a event for my best friend Darius, who was killed to gun violence in 2011, I believe. And so seeing him pass from gun violence, that was, you know, a devastating thing that I had to go through, not just myself, my family and friends. So me doing that to honor him, that meant the world to me, seeing so many kids come out and be a part of that, and seeing the younger youth be a part of that, that was great. And then I also recently just went back to my elementary school, Beasley Academic Center, and just, you know, greeted the kids as they went to school, because I remember being in their shoes. I remember, you know, waking up at 7 o'clock getting ready for school. So I just wanted to give them a little bit of encouragement that, you know, they can accomplish anything they do as long as they put their mind to it and stay focused.
Do you think it's an obligation of yours to give back in the manner in which you just described?
I think definitely me, because of what, you know, the state of Illinois has did for me and my family. Of course, Chicago, how they rooted for me and my family. I think, yes, how blessed I am. You know, the Lord gave me so many blessings in this state. And I think that if I wasn't to give back and help, you know, bring someone else up like that, then I'd be wrong. So, yeah, definitely.
Is there a website for the foundation?
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's in my Instagram bio. I think it's Ayodesumu Foundation. Yeah, definitely.
You've also done some nice commercial work early on.
Illinois Lottery.
Is there anything else on the horizon here?
Yeah.
Throw Waddle and Sylvie some Illinois Lottery tickets, some scratch offs.
I got you. But yeah, that's also something I've been blessed to be a part of, with just connections from Illinois and just being from Chicago. I also did the show Southside. It should be premiering in September. That was my first official acting job.
Oh, nice.
Really?
Yeah, I'm a comedian, so y'all check that out.
Okay.
Y'all gotta laugh at my joke, though, so that's all I'm gonna say.
Okay.
And then I did Illinois Lottery, of course. I did Aiken Law. I did a pretty decent amount of commercials, and I've been blessed.
Would you be killing it right now if you were at Illinois on the NIL money?
Oh, I think about that all the time. I think I'd be making good money, but I'm blessed with my checks that I get now.
Yeah.
That's why I look. You're so humble. A couple other things, too. I was told from a friend that, is it true that your mom sends out an inspirational quote to you and your siblings each and every day?
Yeah, how you know that?
I got people.
Yeah, she does that every day. She sends out messages to me, my brother, my sisters, and it'd be good messages too, because, you know, we all human, of course. So no matter, you know, how much money you make, or no matter how successful you are in this world, we are human beings. So it's always times when, you know, you could feel down, or you could just not feel like yourself. And she always sends great messages to be like, you know, it, no matter what you do, you always can be great. And the messages that she sends, it fits the feeling of every morning.
It's great. And then you journal too, right? You write stuff down. Waddle always makes fun of me because I'm always writing notes down in my notes.
Uh-huh.
What are you writing
down? I bet he doesn't do it in his phone.
Oh, yeah.
You do it in your phone?
Yeah, I'll do it in my phone.
Really?
See? Yeah. I'm the only one. You lost your bet.
Yeah. Well, I'm the oldest guy by far here. So,
But I really started throughout the draft process. I started doing that because when I'm done playing, I want to be like a journalist similar to this, but maybe like calling. I don't know what I want to do it particularly, but similar to this setting. But I started off when I did my workouts, I would journal them afterwards, just write down how it went, how I think I did. And so when I look back, you know, 4 or 5 years from now, I could say, oh, this is how it was. And then after that, I started throughout the season. You know, I started from the first game, Detroit, Toronto, all of those games, how I felt after the game. Because I feel like once you write after the game, you're getting raw emotion, you know. If you wait 24 hours now, mentally, you're like humans. You get over things fast. You're seeing things more different. But right after the game, it's like, this is how I feel in this exact moment. So I'm really hard on myself. I tell myself, like, you know, I played bad. You played terrible. You made terrible reads. And I'll write it down. And then I just go back and look at it. And then the more we go through the season, I'm looking back and I'm seeing how much better I got. And I'm seeing how much work I still can put in.
You guys start camp, what, in about a month, right? The end of September. Do you have anything cool planned or anything on the agenda before you get back to work?
No. I had my fun for the summer. It was cool. I took a couple days off here and there, went to different states, and still work. But now I'm really just focusing on, like I said, eliminating bad things from my body, getting my body in tip-top shape. And then I want to, you know, come into training camp into the best shape possible. I want to be ready mentally, physically, you know, everything.
All business.
Like that. All business.
It sounds like it. All right, journal right now as we let you go. What are you going to write about the Waddle and Sylvie experience here?
oh, I'm right about how this product want to be one of my, I want to have something like this when I'm done playing.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, like this is a good setup.
Anytime you want to come in one random day and just take calls and talk about whatever you want.
Yeah, I'll probably do that.
Just walk down the street, knock on the window.
That'll be cool. I like the setting of this.
10 minutes you want to do, you want to do an hour. We will move out of the way.
Or 4 hours.
And
you
lead the show. And
I bet.
It doesn't have to be about basketball, whatever you want.
That's cool. Yeah, because this is fun. Y'all got a very nice job.
It is good.
You can see the city, and then you just sitting here talking. Yeah, that's what I like.
It's been a very calm environment out front today.
Yeah,
he hasn't
gotten the full experience.
Yeah, haven't got the full experience.
One day you'll come back and go, "Oh, this is not how I remembered it."
I told him I was coming by to chill, so they ain't gonna mess
up. There you go.
You'll keep up the great work. Yep. Make everyone proud this town and keep doing your thing, all right? We'll keep watching and cheering for you.
Appreciate y'all. Thank you.
There you go. Io DeSumo in studio with Waddle and Selvey.
Guess what? College football is back. It's time to enjoy the tradition, the fun, and the great offers from DraftKings Sportsbook. To celebrate the best time of the year, new customers can bet just $5 on any team and get $200 in free bets instantly, win or lose. You can also place a same-game parlay for a shot at an even bigger payout. All you have to do is combine multiple bets into one, like which team will get the win, which team will score first, and so on and so forth. Best of all, you can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code WMVP. Bet just $5 on college football and get $200 in free bets instantly. That's code WMVP only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Indiana only. One per new customer, minimum $5 deposit and wager. $200 issued as 825 free bets. Restrictions apply. See terms at DraftKings.com/sportsbook. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-9-WITH-IT.
This is Waddle's World.
And in Chicago, Tom Waddle. He can't run, he's not fast, but he gets open.
Bears legend.
Amazing.
9 career TDs in the NFL.
He caught everything that was thrown and took every hit that they could give him.
Tom Waddle.
Let's get weird. Let's get weird.
Welcome to Waddle's World. Come inside.
Let's get weird. Let's get weird. Weird. Get weird. Weird. Get weird.
Let's get weird.
Yeah, let's get weird. Waddle's World brought to you by our great friends and partners at Wintrust Community Banks. They are Chicago's banks. Find your nearest Wintrust Community Bank. Visit Wintrust.com/finest. Member FDIC. What an enjoyable young man he is.
Great.
Not only a fantastic player, but what a great kid he is.
A great family, too. Hat tip to Peggy Kaczynski, our teammate, who texted me during the interview to tell me that his mom came on her and her son's podcast.
Oh, that's fabulous.
And she told the story about sending the inspirational quotes every day. He was genuinely surprised when I brought
that
up. But Peggy
that's
was
good.
The one who gave that
Peggy's
to me.
Peggy's a great teammate.
Great teammate.
That's what a great teammate does.
Bleacher Nation Bulls. I love the entire Bleacher Nation crew, whether it's Bears, whether it's Cubs, whether it's Bulls. They tweeted just now, just got done listening to Io on Waddle and Sylvia. I still can't believe that guy fell to the Bulls' lap. Such an amazing representative for the city of Chicago. Great player, an even greater person. I mean, we were talking about the Bears with him off the air, too.
Yeah.
He's a Bears optimist.
He is. He's got the Bears winning 8.
Yes.
That's youthful enthusiasm and optimism. Yes. And I'm all for it. And I hope he's right.
Yes. No ego. Zero ego with Io.
His optimism for the Bears just got him banned from Kep Show.
Yes, right.
That's a good point.
And Kep will definitely butcher his name, right? Because that's what he does to all the people who he doesn't see eye to eye with. I can't wait to play Lee Allen's call from earlier.
That's going
to
be fun. Yeah, that was really enjoyable. You always enjoy watching young athletes develop, and I'm excited to see what his sophomore season brings, and obviously hoping that tremendous success continues for him, because he's a wonderful kid. He's got a great outlook and a great perspective on things.
With his rationale on the Illini and why it's important for kids from Chicago to play for Illinois, not to just think about it as an 8-month experience. It's got to be a lifelong experience. Yeah. And the networking and the,
it's a very mature perspective.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Like I was already very happy when we got the IO jerseys for my kids.
Yeah.
Like after meeting him,
now you get the chance to go home and tell your sons, listen, you wear those jerseys with pride because this is a good kid.
You follow him.
Yeah.
He's a smart guy right there.
Yeah. Speaking of basketball and young players, Oklahoma City Thunder rookie Chet Holmgren is going to miss the entire season with a foot injury suffered in a pro-am game. Liz Frank injury, I guess, is what it is. He's the really tall guy from Gonzaga, right?
Correct.
That's where Chet Holmgren is.
Right.
Were you high on him, Tyler? You're basketball
I
expert.
I like him.
Boy, he looks. Again, I'm coming from. He's coming. Yes, he looks like, to me, he looked like an injury waiting to happen because he is so tall and so frail.
But a lot of guys are like that when they come. Like Giannis was
even
sort of
Kevin
like
Durant's
that.
Kevin like
Durant
that.
Was like that when they came into the league. And it's unfortunate because it happened in a pro-am at a game that they had to stop because the court conditions weren't good
enough.
Oh,
that's what it was?
So they stopped the game. Ugh. And unfortunately, he was a casualty in all of that. But, I mean, I really like Chet, and I think he will be a good player in the NBA just because he's the size
young guy
that he
with
is.
An old guy's name too. Like I can't get past
right.
that. I have two thoughts when I see him. Boy, he's an injury waiting to happen because he's what 7'2"?
Seven two. Yeah.
What 114 mm-hmm. pounds?
Something. Yeah.
And he looks like an injury waiting to happen. And young guy with an old guy's name.
I'm trying to think. Chet. Like obviously, Kopic is the most known Chet from here.
Chet Atkins.
Yeah. Like who is the pitcher and rookie of the year? Wasn't the Cubs? Wasn't it rookie? No, when he
I don't know. But give me another young guy who's anybody whose name is Chet.
There's got to be right. There's got to be a young guy named Chet.
There's a boat racing going on the north side.
All right, so they lost. Three of five. Chet Lemon's old guy now.
Yeah, I'm just saying. Timmy,
it's gonna,
smaller guy.
I know, but it's going to come
Chet.
Back.
Old guy.
It's very cyclical the way these names come back. Like, what name were we talking about recently? Then I go, boy, that's like a young man's name now. And you're like, oh, Noah. We were talking about Noah.
Yeah.
Obviously goes back to Noah's Ark, right?
I mean, yeah.
Biblical times. But like
who
now.
Who do you know was named Noah?
Like when we had Noah on, the fan who was yelling in.
Telling Tony how to manage his
and
team.
And I was surprised like a 60-year-old had the name Noah. Because to me, Noah now is like a young kid's name. But it's all cyclical.
It's like Timmy. You don't think Timmys are big guys?
I've never disagreed more with a name stance than
Tim Grunhart, big center for the Kansas City Chiefs. I think he was a local guy as well. Football player, big masculine football player. Nobody's calling him Timmy.
We and many guys who will go by Timmy and Timmy
small
Duncan.
Guys.
Timmy Duncan, people
they don't call him Tim.
People call him Timmy.
I've never heard anybody call him Timmy. Unless maybe Pop calls him Timmy.
Sure.
I had a friend named Timmy.
Bill Belichick called me Timmy.
Because you were little.
I had a friend named Timmy, and then he went through a growth spurt, and then he became Tim.
See?
Yep.
I'm telling
you're spot on
I
with
think
that.
Tyler and I are related.
Really?
Yeah.
Is he your son?
I think so.
He's
son.
Your long-lost
so.
Son?
I mean, because like he and I see everything the same way.
That's interesting.
So you're buying what I'm saying?
Yeah. No, I'm with you.
No doubt. Timmy is not the name. You don't have many big Timmys.
We proved your theory wrong.
One person.
More than one.
No.
If you're big and you go by Timmy, call us up right now. 312-332-3776.
I'm not using it as the correct term as a pejorative. I'm not telling you it's a bad thing. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Like you don't call a big guy tiny. You don't call a big guy Timmy.
I think there are a lot of big guys whose nickname is
Chet is
tiny.
Definitely not a young guy's name. Chet's an old guy. That's an old guy's name.
Are there any young guys listening to our show who are named Chet?
Yeah, if you're young and your name is Chet, you call us right now. 312-332-3776. Call me.
Chet Holmgren, the only young guy named Chet.
Do you know another young guy named Chet?
I'm trying to think of it.
Right. That's my point. Well, anyway, he's going
to
miss a league.
Well, you think there. That injury report for Chet Holmgren is brought to you by Rush University System for Health. Don't let COVID-19 sideline you this season. Rush encourages everyone to get vaccinated, wear a mask, and don't delay your care in person or virtually. Rush is here for you. Visit rush.edu.
Seamless. Like, your son just picks up the ball and runs with it.
I might as well just leave now.
You should. Well, I know. You don't need to leave. Maybe Meller's your cousin or something. Maybe you guys are related.
That's fine.
Yeah, you guys seem to see things
eye to
eye.
I'm having a cousin. Yeah.
Except when he's not giving you your money for your fantasy football winnings.
Well, look, you could be pissing your
draft,
cousin.
By the way.
We do it when you're supposed to do a draft.
We're going to do it next Thursday night.
We do it as close to the regular season as possible.
So you can eliminate some of the injury issues.
Yes. Bingo.
Next Thursday night, we're going to do it.
Do you feel like a pigeon in any way the way I do, son? Like, I think that they're just trying to get our money.
No.
And by the way, I'm going to do well. I haven't told Tyler this yet, but I'm going to put up the entry fee. How much is it?
$400.
No, we're splitting. We're in this together.
Okay, no, but
for you, $400.
No. No,
I'm the entire league's entry fee.
No, it's such an ass. No, because you're going to do the majority of the work.
See, this is what we're...
No.
You got to be in
this
on
is,
it.
Yeah.
I'm going
we're
to be in on it.
You can cover it entirely.
You're not
can be
the a- owner and he's the GM.
Yes, this is not...
How are you... Listen, you're like the St. Louis Cardinals telling the Cubs how to run their team. You just manage your own squad, mister.
What do you mean I'm like the St. Louis Cardinals?
I'm telling you, you're a team in the league telling somebody else how to run
their
team.
I gotcha.
You and I are not like...
No, we're not.
Yesterday,
no,
the
not,
baseball analogy. Now this? You guys can't tell
me how to
run our team.
We're going to run this thing the right
way,
right? You're going to be our president of football operations. I will be the GM, and we will work in tandem.
Yes, that's all I'm saying.
I'm saying to this, I'm willing to put up the entry fee, and this is the way it goes. When we win... Anything up to the entry fee, I get back. All of our winnings above $400, then we get to split those 50-50.
So generous.
I'm just saying. That is generous. How is that not generous? I've taken the risk out of the equation for him.
I said it's so generous.
There's no risk for him. He can't lose a nickel. All he can do is win.
Just got to get my 400 back.
Is your brain working?
Then we'll split it.
That's right. Why would we split on the... If he doesn't put a nickel in...
I wasn't critiquing that.
Yeah, you were.
You got very offended for no reason.
That may be slightly true, but I don't think you understood what I was saying. I think that you confused yourself. I think you twisted yourself into a bit of a pretzel.
I've been confused a lot lately.
You have.
Remember at the end of
what
the
is,
show?
Yes, hey, what is wrong
the,
with you?
Who's the douche?
Yes.
Sylvie.
Right. Everybody knew where I was going with that.
I have a
Did
hoot.
You guys know where I was going with that?
So no, I agree with Sylvie. I said Sylvie in the back here.
I was Team Waddle. Don't worry.
Of course, Tyler.
By the way, I have a who's the douche for later. Meller, is that a you? Was that a Carmen creation or you created?
Yeah, no, that was mine based on the parking. Should we co-opt ownership of it?
That's what I'm asking.
Yes.
Like now, does
no,
this become?
I say we annex.
Does that become?
I think
if that's a Meller, if that's a Meller segment,
you know how angry Carmen can get about stuff.
I know.
Like that may turn physical.
Can he get as angry as Cap got this morning?
Well, again, we'll get to that.
We do that 4:30?
Wait till we grade this thing. Yeah, because Durkin's going to be on it for.
Yeah.
If you miss, because I missed it, so.
I didn't hear it either.
If you missed it live, Cap and this caller over bear stuff.
It got personal.
From
both sides.
There were lots of low blows.
Yeah.
And I believe the person who sits in the chair that I'm sitting in threw the first low blow.
I think he threw
first two low blows.
That may be true. I know the first one came from him, but...
What's his name?
Lee Allen.
Lee Allen came back with an equally
Live
salty.
Life, Lee Allen.
Yeah.
He came back with an equally salty.
Oh, yeah. No, no.
Low blow.
Look, he was kicking below the belt.
There were points deducted on both sides.
Lee Allen was taking his knee in kneeing Cap in the nuts.
Yeah. That is true. By the way, did you see the Lakers are acquiring Pat Bev from the Jazz?
Do you know the backstory on this with him and
not.
Russell Westbrook, too?
No.
That they've been bickering, you know, because they were talking trash to each other. And Russell Westbrook's the guy who said, you know, you've all been fooled by Patrick Beverley being a really good defensive player. Did he call him the street cone? Is that where the street cone?
No, that was Chris Paul, wasn't it?
All right, that was Patrick Beverly and Chris Paul.
Yeah.
But I think there was some Russell Westbrook hate towards Patrick Beverly. I don't know.
Or is it just going to be a show? That's why I wanted to see Kyrie go to L.A. Just for the circus nature of it.
You know how I feel about Patrick Beverly. He is the guy that I would love on the Bulls.
Yeah.
Now, they have a bunch of guys. The Bulls need more
shooting.
Doesn't
he look like John Fox right there? Like a... Like John Fox.
Can you tell? Can you bring him back?
Turn around. Right
can
there.
You have him come back?
See, it looks a little bit like John Fox.
Which one?
It looks a little bit like Foxy.
Yeah, my God. He's got the Foxy swag.
Yes, he does. All right, it's time to say goodbye for a second. Just for a commercial break.
No, just to see you later.
We'll be back in a minute, and I've got some nonsense I need to bring to you. I have to go to the bathroom, too. From football teams making game day adjustments to students, parents, and teachers gearing up for a brand new school year, it's the season when so many are bound and determined to make a fresh start. But one team's been focused on freshness for over a century, and that's the crew over at your local Jewel Osco. This group prides itself on bringing you top-quality produce, butcher-fresh meat, real-deal deli items, baked goods, and so much more. You'll score all this freshness right at your fingertips with each winning trip to Jewel Osco.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Follow at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87 on Twitter.
Oscar Mayer is now selling frozen wiener pops.
Suck on their wiener.
What?
That's what they're for. What'd a you pop, say? Right? Is it suck on their wiener? Isn't that the motto for wiener pops?
I expect it from cousin Meller in there.
Is it? Take it easy, Jerry Jones.
We got to play that, too. I've not heard that yet.
How did what you just say not get
dumped?
What do you
do to a popsicle?
You eat it.
Yeah. It's a combo.
Oscar Mayer is selling its first ever cold dog, a frozen pop that tastes like the brand's hot wiener that allegedly boasts both refreshing and smoky notes of a hot dog and topped with a mustard swirl.
This is a popsicle? Like a pop? Like a what? Like a lollipop? Like a what? A popsicle?
Again, Oscar Mayer selling his first ever cold dog, a frozen pop.
Yes.
Tastes like the brand's hot wiener.
Yes.
That allegedly boasts both refreshing and smoky notes of a hot dog and topped with a mustard swirl.
If it's not, it's got to be then lick my wiener. For the motto. No? It's a popsicle. What do you do to a popsicle?
I do not think you have a future in advertising when you get fired. I don't. I really don't. Like you may be working for a porn site or something, doing their social media, but like you're not going to get an advertising job when you get fired later today. After the overwhelming fan excitement for their beloved cold dog, it was a no-brainer to make this hot dog-inspired frozen pop a reality. Cold dog is now on sale for $2 at select pop bar locations in Long Island, New York, New Orleans, and in Georgia. I don't know why it's like in those cities, but...
So not here, not in our state?
You can't, as you said, lick your frozen hot dog pop here in Illinois.
We want you to lick our wiener. How about that as a motto? What? Seriously.
Triple down.
Oscar Mayer.
And I'm the one that gets your kids revved up by talking dirty. What if they are driving around with your lovely wife right now, listening to their dad say what he just said repeatedly?
They may be. But I'm talking about the popsicle. Boys, what do you do when you get the popsicle? You lick the popsicle. This is an Oscar Mayer wiener popsicle.
That's not how I lick my popsicle or eat my popsicle.
No. Kids lick a popsicle all the time.
That's not how I go.
You're biting your popsicle right away? You're taking a bite out of the popsicle?
I'm not licking it. When you eat ice cream, you eat ice cream, and like an ice cream cone. You lick it. That. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not a popsicle.
In Sylvie's defense, you're not the go-to guy to tell us how to eat an ice cream cone.
Yeah, so. I think the go-to move on. How do you, 312?
Let me ask,
332-3776.
With that said, that's fair.
Do
you lick your popsicle?
Are we talking about like a Bob Pop?
Are you?
It's a licking or sucking.
You're not licking a popsicle.
You're an animal. If you're taking your popsicle right out of the freezer and taking a bite out of it.
You can suck on your popsicle. Yes. You put it in your mouth. You're not licking it.
It is a combo.
I'm not eating anything either.
That was just pure spit.
It's a lick slash sucking. Absolutely.
Yes. No, I don't lick.
I
don't lick my popsicles.
You're a bad dessert guy.
Guilty. You guys are good dessert guys. In fact, how about that?
Animal-like behavior to take a bite right away out of the popsicle.
Let me eat some more stuff that's not good for me.
You taking a bite right out of the lollipop, too?
You're much more likely to lick a lollipop than a popsicle.
Okay.
I suck on the lollipop as well. I'm not just... Licking it is just like taking, like,
It's a big lick. It's a big, healthy lick with your tongue.
As opposed to what? Your elbow?
Yes.
I mean, like, thank you.
Just trying to make
thanks
sure.
For,
listen.
Thanks. I know I'm not the dessert guy, but thanks for clearing that up for me.
Trying to make sure we're all on the
lick
same
with your tongue.
Page here, buddy.
Everybody licks their popsicle.
A woman unknowingly drove 30 miles with a partially naked man passed out in her back seat.
Well, one more time.
A woman unknowingly drove 30 miles with a partially naked man passed out in her back seat.
Didn't know? Like, that doesn't that always scare you about the parking garage?
Partially?
I always look in my car.
Look in the back seat?
I kind of look at everything when I get into the car. I'm an aware person. A woman listened to a podcast early Monday morning as she drove the roughly 30 miles from her home in Providence, Rhode Island, to her job in Easton, Massachusetts. It wasn't until she got to work around midnight that she realized a partially naked man was passed out and along for the ride in her back seat.
How partially?
Police believe that the man from Providence, 21-year-old, entered the unlocked vehicle and fell asleep on the floor when the woman briefly popped inside her home after starting her vehicle. He was partially clothed with a pair of shorts around one leg and a shirt wrapped around one arm, leaving the rest of his body uncovered.
Shorts around one leg, you're naked, basically.
It was apparent that he was extremely intoxicated. That sounds like quite a surprise.
I love the way they dress that up.
Partially dressed or partially naked. Yeah.
He's all the way naked. Yeah. If you've only got shorts around one leg, you're not. You're naked.
Yeah, I would suggest you're naked as well.
Yeah.
All right, that's all I got. I got more, but
Can we get to the Jerry Jones stuff, too, later?
Yeah.
I don't know he was talking. I'm going to
you do know what he was talking about.
Maybe that'll be our great and find the greats.
I'm
doing a popsicle. I'm doing a poll question on popsicle eating.
Why don't we go get a popsicle? And I'll just sit here and watch you lick it like you're licking stamps and sending mail out.
Dan Durkin.
You lick a stamp is what you lick. You don't lick a popsicle.
Dan Durkin breaks down the Bears and eating popsicles next.